men say, and God says. Now, you must train yourself to listen to who? Listen to your father, and those men, no gender in this, or women, that might pass on a thought that can be documented from God's word as a truth. Otherwise, what must you consider it as? The words of men. Certainly not of your father. And you must learn to discipline yourself in that. Many people rarely crack open the Bible. Well, my granddad taught me all there is to know about the Bible. But let me ask you a question. Who taught him? And then who taught that person? And we can take it on back and on back. Who taught who? And you see, it always comes back to one thing. Your father wrote you a letter so that you can take it straight from him, documenting what people might say to you. Therefore, you have no excuse for not understanding what it is that your father says. Do you know why that's so important? He's the one that's going to judge you. And if you took someone else's word for what God says without checking them out, you're a trusting soul indeed with your eternal life. Because man is so prone to error that you must study hours and hours to make certain that you are conveying into your mind the very thoughts that our Father had. That's one reason the Masorah is so important. The very word itself in the Hebrew tongue, meaning to pass a thought from one mind to another, particularly from God's mind to yours. So, with that having been said, let's open our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 23. In choosing scripture for this, there are so many that if you were to bounce it out of a computer, they said, God said, and you said, he said, men said, you would have such a long printout. So I chose those that pertain to the end times, basically, meaning those that would mean action for you or something you had better pay strict attention to. And that's why we come to Jeremiah chapter 23. The subject, you can kind of pick it up. We're not going to particularly start our study in verses 1 and 2 of Jeremiah 23, but it'll give you the flavor. And what does it say? It says, woe, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. What's a pastor supposed to do? He's supposed to tend the pasture. That's what the word means, saith the Lord. Now that comes from the Lord. You can count on that. But did he say he was angry at all pastors? No. Those that scatter the sheep. Scatter them from what? From feeding the food that God presented for his children to partake of. Which is what? What is the seed that is sown in the world? The word. What word? God's word. And there are many pastors, one verse revolving revs, that never seem to get around to teaching God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. So how do you know what they say is true? Else you document it from God's word. So each time you hear someone like that, who God bless their souls, you've got to do a lot of homework to find out if they knew what they were talking about, and if it is just a man speaking, or if indeed the Lord thus saith. Which, you know, a good exercise. But always, always document that it is God's word. Verse 2, therefore, thus saith the Lord God. Who said this? Thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my flock, that are in charge of the flocks. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Visited them with what? Food. Truth. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Father. And you can count on that. Many of these people that see the great GP in the sky, which they think means go preach, well, a lot of times it means go plow, okay? Because if they're not going to do their homework and be a conveyor of God's thoughts, they have no business there. They really don't. They would be far better off in the eternity, if they make it there, had they gone to plow rather than mislead the sheep. That causes our Father to be very unhappy. And I realize some of it is done in ignorance because of people that follow traditions. But that is no excuse. That is no excuse. If you set yourself up as a pastor, you fall under kind of a different set of rules. You know why? Because judgment starts at the pulpit. That's where it starts. I mean, if they're to be rewarded, they'll be rewarded. If they're to be hung, they'll be hung first. Okay? And that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Therefore, one should be very careful what they hear by checking it out in the Father's Word. Otherwise, it really, all it is what? It's words of men. It's not the Word of God until you document it for yourself. It may be what some man believes to be the Word of God, but until you check it out and think for yourself, then that's called spiritual discernment, and God made it real easy when he would say in Mark 13, hey, I foretold you all things. You don't have an excuse. It's all written. Okay, let's skip, if we may, to the 11th verse, and we're going to cover this chapter pretty good because it has to do with the end generation. The 11th verse reads, for both prophet and priest are profane, and of course, this is those that mislead. Yea, in my house, that's to say the church, Bethel, the house of God, the many-membered body, if you choose that tabernacle. In my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. I didn't have to look very far. I didn't have to go out in the back 40 and check that field. I found it right in my own house. He doesn't like that. Wherefore, their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. Have you ever slid down some slippery old bank in the dark and try to keep your balance? It's pretty hard to do. As slippery ways in the darkness, they shall be driven on. They're going to be driven on that slippery way and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. You know what that year of visitation is? It's when Christ returns. No one gets away with misleading God's sheep, his children. Do you know why? He loves them. They're precious to him, just like your children are precious to you, only perhaps more so. And if somebody hankies with them, especially in bringing deception upon them, lying to them, maybe to gain a little personal prestige or to make one seem important with great words, there are great words, but they all belong to God. He's the one that speaks, and it really means something. That's why you want to always study his word, that is to say, document what men might say. So what? So you're not made a fool of. The year of visitation is approaching. Thus, all the more urgency in being sure of yourself, that you're pleasing to God. Verse 13, and I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. Who settled in Samaria? Israel. Okay, the 10 tribes. They prophesied in Baal. That's confusion. That's Babel. That means they didn't make any sense. And caused my people Israel to err. In other words, caused the whole bunch to err. Who did? The priest and the prophets. That's why it's so dangerous. That's why it's so irritating to our Father to have a fake, a con artist wearing his frock. 14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem, this would be Judah, the other two tribes, an horrible thing. They commit adultery, that's idolatry, and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness, that's to say his lawfulness, lawlessness rather, they are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. They're what? I mean, this is talking about his, the leaders of his own people. What did he do to those in Sodom and Gomorrah? He rained fire on them. And the lake of fire is coming in that day of visitation. That is to say, at the end of the millennium. Therefore, it becomes very important that we know that the false prophets are going in that lake at the end of the millennium. If they don't, if there's not some changes, do you wish to go with them? How far will you follow them? I really believe that I would follow Father instead. Verse 15. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth unto all the land. That should say something to you. It should set a time and a precedence for you if you're a student of the book of Revelation. Oh, I forgot. Some of the priests and prophets told you you didn't have to know the book of Revelation, didn't they? They said you were going to be gone. So really, this part doesn't pertain to you to know that the wormwood comes with the star that falls from heaven that's called the Antichrist. It's wormwood, bitterness. Chernobyl in the Russian tongue. Did you live to see that? I think so. Has it already happened? Yeah. In part, the sign did. Were you aware? Revelation chapter 8 leading to 9 is what I'm speaking of. Okay? He will allow you to be deceived if you allow yourself to be. Especially if some preacher tells you, has the nerve to tell you that you don't have to understand God's Word. I don't know how, you know, a person is just absolutely stupid that will allow some man to speak to them that way without dressing them down. Because every word of God's Word is important. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart. That's their own fancy or fantasy, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. You don't have to understand the book of Revelation. Just listen to me. My grandpa told me what's going to happen. It's just like when they crossed the Red Sea. God didn't really part the water. We put on jet packs and just flew over. You know, just buzzed like a bunch of hornets. Yeah, we did. Well, yeah, pretty soon, you got to wake up and say, God gave us examples. That's how it's going to be. That's why he stated it that way. So let's listen and learn utilizing common sense and tell the false priests and prophets where to go or where they're going. Think for yourself. It's your soul that is going to be judged. Oh, there shall be two, but they, I'll tell you what, you sure don't want the chances they've got. 17. They say still unto them that despise me, there's your qualification. Those that despise me. You sure don't want to listen to anybody that despises God, do you? Don't think so. The Lord hath said. Here they're putting words in the Lord's mouth. Can you discern the difference? Men say, God said. Well, they're saying here, this is what God said. God said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination or the stubbornness in his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. You're going to fly away. You don't have to worry about the false Christ. You've been a good little buddy. You're going to fly like a big chicken. You're out of here. That's not what the Bible says. That's the only problem. I mean, take away the chicken, take away the bunny, and take away all my ab libbing there. They're still not going to fly anywhere. As a matter of fact, in Ezekiel 13, God said, I am against those that teach my children to fly to save their souls. He doesn't like it. Why? It's false. That's why. God hates lies. God does not bring evil, as it was translated, but tumult to those that won't listen. That's trouble. 18. And who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Question. It's a good thing for you to remember. Who has? Well, let me tell you something. You know of a certainty that Jeremiah did. You know that Daniel did. You know that John did. So why would you listen to some revolving rev that said he has, if it was counter to what Jeremiah, John, Daniel, and the other prophets had to say? Somebody's lying to you. Think for yourself. Be very cautious of those that say, I had a little talk with God today, if it's anything other than outside of prayer. Be very cautious. It's called one-upmanship by revolving revs. All right? And I know that the Holy Spirit touches many. But beware of one-upmanship. 19. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury. Even a grievous wind, it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. Those that listen, that have no excuse, that are sliding down that slippery slope into the great pit, have a good slide, you know. God doesn't like it. He's unhappy. 20. The anger of the Lord shall not return. That means he's not going to change his mind until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. That's to say, exactly what he wants to do. That is to say, to perform the prophecies that are written, that he has promised those that are loyal to follow him, will come to pass exactly as they're written. It will happen that way. He's not going to change his mind. He is the same yesterday, he is today, and he's going to be that way tomorrow. Always with you. Here comes the part that you want to really underline in your mind. When's all this going to happen? In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. In the latter days you're going to understand, because you're going to live to see the false teaching that transpires to the nations, to the people, all in the name of God. You don't have to understand most of God's word. You're going to be gone. Beware, my friend, the most dangerous words ever spoken by a revolving rev, telling you you don't have to understand God's word when God says you better understand. Think for yourself. Verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. They just couldn't hardly wait to get the collar on. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Had a little talk with God today. Well, God didn't know about it. Okay? Be careful, friend. Am I afraid I'm going to offend someone? No, we're talking about fake preachers here, and I don't care if I offend fake preachers or not. Okay? You shouldn't either. Now, if they're good, loyal servants of God doing their duty, do you think I would say a word against them? Heaven forbid. But fake preachers, I am very tough on them. Well, do you judge them? No, not I. God does. Whoa, he knows even what's in their hearts. Verse 22, and if they had stood in my counsel, if they had had an understanding mind, and had caused my people to hear my words, not theirs, God's words, God saith, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. They should have stuck with what's written. As Jesus, the greatest teacher of all, would come and say when asked a question, haven't you read it? It's in his word, haven't you read? Well then, Dumbo, I'll tell you. Okay, well, he didn't really use that terminology, but I just felt like at the moment, a little emphasis wouldn't hurt. Okay? Now, verse 23. Am I a God at hand? saith the Lord, and not a God afar off. Am I there with you? Or do you think I'm way off over there somewhere in boom boom land? I guarantee you, he's with you. He's with you in your heart. That's what the Spirit is. He's wherever he chooses to be. So don't think he doesn't know what's going on. That's the emphasis here. He knows what's going on. 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I should not see him, saith the Lord? You think I don't know where you're trying to hide? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Do you think I don't know every square inch of both heaven and earth? Of course he does. Where his children are placed. 25. I have heard what the prophets said. They prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. I had a dream. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you have a dream, and I can guarantee this. This is from the Father, but don't you accept it. I can only say it as one of my lessons from God himself. You can't read it in the Word, but I promise you it's true. Anytime you dream something or you see something, and you wonder whether that was from God or not, or if it's just your mind, you'll find proof of it in God's Word, or you better be careful. All right? That's straight from the Father. I'll say it again. How do you know, as a teacher or as a seed planter, whether something is truth or not? If it's in the Word of God. For he foretold us all things, and that means it's here. Otherwise, you're listening to a dreamer. Is this dream good, bad, in between, or somewhere else? Well, I don't know. You have to judge for yourself. It's according to whether it was a sour pickle, pizza, or a beer dream. Okay, maybe too much beer or something. I had a dream last night. Well, that all depends. The central nervous system has five features that any one of them can send little messages to the brain. Like, it's too hot, it's too cold, I'm not happy, I'm depressed. You know, well, take the flesh and tell it to sit down and shut up, and you'll stick in God's Word and stop dreaming so much. Okay? But God speaks to people also. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but these false ones, their dreams don't amount to anything. Okay? Their own illusions. Okay, I forgot where we're at, so I'm going to go with 26. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? How long will they do this? I can answer it for you. Right up to the end. Okay? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. It's their own illusions of mind. You know, sometimes you could get an education reading parts of my mail from dreamers. All right? I'm never going to take the time to do it, but whoa, I'm telling you. Ooh, 27. But I get a lot of good mail, too. Don't misunderstand. Dreamers are just special people, okay? 27. Which think to cause my people to forget my name. It is true. Many teachers don't teach the true name. But by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor. In other words, they pass that stuff out. Guess what? God talked to me last night, and you better do this, and you better do that. God said it. Well, are you sure God said it? All it was the man had a dream. And you don't know whether he had pizza or pickles, okay, in to boot. And I'm not making light of the Holy Spirit. God forbid. I would never do that. But I'm saying until you hear it from God's Word, you'd better be careful. As their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Well, my grandpa taught me about the Bible. I don't have to read it. Passed on generation to generation. Think for yourself. Your grandpa was a wonderful man. Mine was too. But J.B. Murray wasn't that much of a Bible scholar, but he could sure trade horses. Man, could he trade horses and mules. He was Ross Brothers horse and mule buyer for the state of Oklahoma. Woo! Man, did I have fun riding them as a teenager. Different subject, different time, all right? But I'm glad, and he would take me to the woodshed if I stuck with his sayings rather than God's Word today. I guarantee you. 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Hey, what have you got? You've got God's word. What more do you need to teach? Nothing. Teach God's word. What can a dreamer do to you? Absolutely nothing, because you have the real thing, the grain that will sprout, will germinate, will bring to fruit into your life and prosperity, because you're planting wheat. What happens when that dreamer plants chaff? Might make good mulch, maybe, but it isn't going to grow up anything, right? So never worry about some fake preacher. They're not going anywhere anyway, as far as that's concerned, as far as your ministry is concerned. Got it? Okay. Verse 29, is not my word like as a fire, and is not God a consuming fire? Think about that. A fire that can even turn a soul into nothingness, blotting it out, saith the Lord. And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. What rock? Tyre. Whose Tyre? Satan's name. The Antichrist. The word of God is like a hammer, a sledgehammer, a 16-pound sledgehammer that will crush Satan's doings. That's God's promise. But you got to do it through his word. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Now, where are you supposed to get your words from God? From your neighbor? That's what a man says. You get your word from God, and it's right here. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse, it is written for the wise to consume and understand. When you begin to repeat the words of God that you got from your neighbor, you don't know, he may be a heathen that had too many sour pickles last night and just fancies himself as a dreamer or a priest or a prophet. But you know that God was, and all the people that serve him, why take a chance? That's what God is telling you. Don't listen to the sayings of men without checking them out in God's word, period. I could say we could quit right there. That's the end of the story. But we won't, because I enjoy teaching the word too much. Okay, we're going to go a ways further. Then we're going to quit. Oh, we're just getting started, aren't we? Good. 31. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. I talked to God last night. He told me to be sure and order vanilla ice cream and park my car in the section B. Isn't that intelligent? Do you know that God won't use somebody that doesn't know what flavor of ice cream they like already? I mean, if you're not any smarter than that, you got trouble. Or if you don't know to take the first available parking place that's the nearest from A to B, as long as it isn't rooting the handicapped out, that's the one you take. You know? Why? It's easier and it makes common sense. God doesn't have to tell his intelligent students. Am I being ludicrous? Kind of. But it gets it said, does it not? Beware of one-upmanship. God talked to me last night because I'm so special. You know, he doesn't talk to everybody like he talks to me. Well, you know the type. Have you ever heard one like that? Well, 32. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies. That's why he especially doesn't like it. And by their lightness. Ice cream, parking cars, that's so light. He doesn't have anything to do with it. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. They're not going to do you a lick of good. You're not going to learn anything from them other than one thing. And a wise person always learns something from somebody. And what you will learn is, don't ever listen to that stuff again. That's what you'll learn. 33. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Now, beloved, this is very important. Because some of you, if you're not careful, are guilty of this same thing and not being aware of it. What is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt say, then say unto them, what burden? Question. I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. Wow. Now let me tell you something. God never, never sends a burden on his people. And if you accuse him of it, you are in bad trouble. I wonder why God made me sick like this. You'd better be careful or you're going to get a lot sicker. Wasn't God? And I'll guarantee you, he despises this with a passion. It's for people to... God only sends good news. You got it? And it is a dangerous thing in your life if you ever question that. One of the easiest ways you can be in bad standing with God is just try it someday. Wonder why God doesn't do me right. He always puts these burdens on me. God didn't put them there. And you'd better not accuse him of it, because he won't forget it light. He won't forget it soon. So, God, that's why you can easily say every day in him is a good day, even with problems. Why? Problems come from somewhere else. And hey, when God's with us, we can cut it. We can handle it. We can take care of them. But don't you dare ever accuse him of it. Well, he chastises us. That means he allows it to happen if you're dumb enough to, for as well as myself, to get yourself in that position, because we all slip and we all slide on that slippery slope occasionally. And you know what happens when you slip and you slide? You bust it. But don't stay there. Get up, get going, and don't try to blame it on God or you're in trouble. That's very important, even for God's elect. I don't know why people say that, but people will say, why does God bring child abuse? He doesn't. God's never abused a child in his life, and that's for a long time. So if I were you, I'd be real careful about accusing him. People do that. Okay, now, verse 33, but when this people, or the prophet, or the priest, shall ask thee, okay, we got that. He says, I'll forsake you. You want him to always be with you and never forsake you? Just accuse him of bringing a burden. What's the bad news from God today? That'll fix your wagon in a hurry, all right? 34. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, God just keeps bringing this trouble. What's the bad news from God? I will even punish that man in his house. Not just him. His whole house. Why? Well, usually he's the one that brings in the food, so to speak. I started to say bacon, but I changed my mind. Okay. Usually, and if God's going to strike him down, there ain't going to be much bacon, so the whole her food stuff. So the house, whole house is going to suffer. But you can count on it, friend. I tell you what, I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Every time I hear that statement by somebody, God let this up, here we go again. Because God's going to hit them. Never misses. How would you like it if one of your kids said, what bad news have you got today, Dad? No good old bum? Just couldn't you bring a little good news home? You never do any good. You just always have a burden for me. Burden to the woodshed, son. Let's get going. All right? Well, our God is no different. That's what I'm telling you. Hey, this is one of his pet things. Think about it. 35. Thus shall you say everyone to his neighbor and everyone to his brother, what hath the Lord answered? Question. Better not say, what kind of burden did he put on you? What did he answer? And what hath the Lord spoken? That's what's important. You won't find any burdens in it, except to those that deserve it. The false prophets, the false priest, and those that follow. 36. And the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more. Nada. Zippo. None whatsoever. For every man's word shall be his burden. You turn it on your own neck. It will happen every time. You hear some man say, I wonder why God let my car break down. Hey, he's just getting started with him. You watch it. He'll break that sucker down so many times he'll think I got a lemon. And never know. Don't blame God, or you're in trouble. Okay? It's just one of those things that he takes very serious. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. You pervert the whole truth when you do that. Because you're showing you don't have any faith in God, that you would accuse God of being trouble, of bringing bad news, and so forth. 37. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee? Question. And what hath the Lord spoken? With respect. Okay? We're listening carefully. 38. But since you say, since this is the way you put it, the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because you say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, you shall not say, the burden of the Lord. 39. Therefore, behold, I, even I, that's God himself, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence, until you do a whole bunch of repenting. Don't ever make that mistake, my friend. Christ didn't take that one away. It's still in existence. Be very careful. 40. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. All it takes is one little repentance and say, oh, Father, forgive me. I didn't really mean it that way. It just came out that way, or whatever the case may be. Be honest with him. But false preachers will lead you into that. There are many people that teach people the reason they have a bad sickness is because of their sin. Do you understand that? You're a sinner because you've been sick. Now, that's like Job, the whole book goes through to explain that that's a lie. That's saying God did it. And then ask for a blessing? It's a very serious thing, my friend. That's why men say, but you'd better listen to what God says. He's very sensitive on that particular subject. But at the same time, I don't want to frighten you. Don't want to put you on a guilt trip. He's very forgiving once you repent. All right? Now, just know that and bear it in mind. Don't let the fallout from false preachers, pastors, and priests get you in trouble. How do you avoid it? Listen to what saith God. God made it pretty clear there, didn't he? He says, I don't want to hear that anymore. Period. So, just erase that one out of your life, or he said, you'll get it. Okay? Now, let's go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 11, as we bring this, thus saith the Lord. It is very important that you listen to your father instead of men, instead of teachers. This teacher, or any other teacher, without checking them out in God's word. We could go on and on in examples that are set forth in God's Word of who said what, or men, or Christ. But I chose two other places, and that's all we're going to cover in this today. Matthew chapter 11, verse 16, Christ's teaching. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? He says, when I look out at all the teachers, preachers, people, what can I liken you unto? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, 17 and sing, "We have piped unto you," and we wanted to play wedding, "and you have not danced." You didn't want to dance at the wedding. You didn't want to be happy. "And you have mourned, we have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented." Then we wanted to play funeral because you were sad, and or it seemed that way, and you wouldn't play that either. Now listen carefully. "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath the devil." In other words, planning on the coming of Messiah, and John was the forerunner of that. The wedding, 19. "The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and they say," now underline that, "they say," who's they? "They say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber." That's what they said about your Messiah. "A friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children." Are you wise enough to be able to segregate men's sayings from the teachings of the Lord and utilizing common sense? Because a lot of people are like kids playing church. Okay? Get a little ritual going here, but never quite get around to studying God's Word. Well, sing a few songs. Nothing wrong with that. But just go right on through it. Well, let's see if any of you in here are not saved today, well, let's have a salvation message right here and now. So the rest of you sit through it, though. Just over and over. But get into God's Word. Don't play church. Don't play God, study in your life. Get to it. And do it seriously. Think for yourself. He continues on through verses 20 through 25 about, hey, he said, if Sodom and Gomorrah were here today and had seen the miracles that we performed, the healings and so forth, they would have repented. I mean, look at Nineveh. When Jonah went there, they repented. He didn't do all that much, just had a fish belch him, and you know they worship the fish god, so they're, whoa, this cool man. so he speaks to them, but let's pick it up in verse 25. "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent," that's to say of the world, all right, "of the world, and has revealed them unto babes." In other words, those that will follow like little children, an open mind towards God's Word, He'll reveal the truth to you. You can have a doctrine a foot long, and if you don't open your mind up as a little child, wholly believing the sayings of Christ, you're never going to get anywhere with it. 26, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father." I mean, He's it. You better understand. If you want something, He's got it all. Did you read that? Did you hear it? "But the Father neither knoweth any man," I'm sorry, "but the Father, rather, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Emmanuel, God with us, for the stable mind explains, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you know something? Rest is a mansion, meno. It's a mansion, is what the word is translated in John 14. He'll give you rest. There is no other rest. He doesn't bring burdens. He brings peace. And there is only one peace, and that's in Him. Why? Well, let's continue on. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Do what? Take on my yoke and listen to some man? No, learn of me. "For I am meek and lowly in heart." I'm humble, and I only utilize common sense to where the simple heart or the one that is sincere can understand anything I've got to teach. "And ye shall find rest unto your souls." Not your flesh. That's not important. That too, but mainly your soul, because then you have peace of mind. 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Do you know what a yoke is? A yoke is what goes on the animal's neck or the person, if they're carrying a weight. And it doesn't let the weight sink in on any one little spot, right? Well, if it's Christ's yoke, it says a little more, because He's carrying the weight for you. Okay? And it's light. That yoke is so light because he will just carry those burdens for you. So rather than you say, what kind of burden has God put on me today? He's taking him away from you. That's what he's doing. And that's why it's an insult to him for people to blame God for their own sin-begotten world and the things that men bring upon themselves and then whimper like a bunch of wimps trying to find a scapegoat. Don't dare use God as a scapegoat or you are in trouble. I don't care if you're one of God's elect, just a plain Christian or whatever you are. Do not blame God for your problems. Think about it. They're so easy to get rid of problems. There's not a problem that can't be fixed. You know, good counselor, if you didn't know, could tell you mucho pronto. Okay. Mainly, think for yourself. You find the way. Okay, in conclusion, Luke, great book of Luke to complete this. And we're going to go to chapter 17. I want to bring this back to your generation again. As we close this out, back to your generation. Wow, this affects you very much. Verse 20 of Luke 17. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, demanded, got it, of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. I mean, it doesn't come with hostile watching. Well, how do I know? Well, you know by being familiar with God's word. I mean, Christ put it in such plain truths in Matthew 24, in this 17th chapter here, in Mark 13, of what would be transpiring that a child can understand how to observe and watch for the return of the kingdom. Okay, 21. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. They're not going to warn you, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. In other words, the actual kingdom. Now, there is a kingdom coming that they're going to say to you, oh, it's over there. It's out there in the desert. You know whose kingdom that is? That's the false Christ. But the real kingdom is Christ in you. He's the only king. He has all of the dominion. Didn't we just read a little bit ago, God put it all under him? Well, that's all of it. The heavens, the earth, the whole thing. And he's the king. So that is the meaning of dominion, and kingship is kingdom. Okay? Verse 22. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come. Now what does that mean? This is God speaking through Christ. Did it say maybe? Have we got any hope maybe of getting around? I think he said the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. Son of Man, meaning when Christ walked the earth with them as he had teaching them, and they could ask all those questions. Man, wouldn't that have been something to say, Lord, let me ask you this. And there he was in person, firsthand, in his teaching body, so to speak. Allow me that, please. Verse 23, and they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. When men say, that's the point I want to make. That's why we're here. When men say, he's out there, it's over there, you know where the kingdom is. You don't have to wonder about it. I mean, it's the Christ out there. It's the Antichrist. It's the spurious Messiah. That's what men say. 24. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his great day. In other words, it's not going to be any secret. Just as sure as you see the sun come up in the east every morning and go down in the west, you see that, you know, even if it's overcast, it gets light. What he's saying is nobody's going to have to tell you it's daylight. If you look out, if you could see, and even a blind handicapped person knows, 25. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. In other words, every word that is written that should happen to him must come to pass. That should strengthen you. That's why you can depend on the word to be accurate, for it has and is still. 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man at his return. 27. They did eat. They drank and married wives. Who did? The fallen angels. That's why God destroyed them. Well, what is it talking about that for? Because Michael is going to kick Satan and the fallen angels out of heaven back onto earth. And they're going to be here with us. That's one of the signs. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Satan's going to try to destroy you. It's not going to happen. Why? We have power over him. What flood are you talking about? Revelation chapter 12, the very chapter that speaks of Satan and his fallen angels cast back out to people again, trying to perform some more marriages and get successful quick schemes. He pours out a flood of lies and deceit, and there's only one way you're going to know the difference, and that's to know what God saith, not what men say. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted. You know what this word planted is in the Greek? They planted doctrines, false teachings, fake prophets. They builded hopes on thin air. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. That's what's going to happen to those that do not pay attention. It's going to happen. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. God loves his children, and on the first day of the millennium, every knee will bow to him through that time of teaching, thank God. 31. In that day, which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Not going to have time, and you're not going to need it. Why? What do you need a set of clothes for your flesh body for if you're about to be changed into the spiritual? And there you stand without any clothes on like we know clothes today. Hopefully you'll be well robed, though, all right, with righteous acts. Remember Lot's wife? Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Don't try to save your flesh in the world, important life. Just be wise and be successful. You know, that many people read this and say, oh, that means you're supposed to give up everything. Uh-uh. Show me how smart you are. You know what Satan's going to do in this world? I'm going to see you beat him at his own game and be richer than he is. You know what's going to happen. Take advantage of it. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in the bed, and one shall be taken and the other shall be left. One's going to lose his life, the other's going to gain it. Two women shall be grinding together, one shall be taken and the other left. One's going to believe that junk. Why? They paid attention to what men said rather than God. Two men shall be in the field, and one taken and the other left. Stay in the field working. I know I almost stand alone in that teaching, but study it for yourself. Antichrist comes first. They say, come over here. Got a crown for you, you beautiful person, you. Want all your bills paid? We'll do it right here. Just join up. Hey, think about it. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither the eagles or the vultures be gathered. In other words, the same place that Christ was crucified, that's where it will be. So, who do you believe? You believe your Father. He created your soul. Do you know something? He kind of has a little bit to do with your purse strings also. That is to say, how successful you are. Because he can put holes in your basket or otherwise. Love him. Be honest with him. And thank him for the privilege of serving him. And listen to him. That's the most important thing. And whatever you do, don't accuse him of a burden or you'll have one like you have never had before. I mean, he will load your, he'll load your donkey quick for you, all right? I mean, he'll give you all you can handle. So, love him, appreciate him. That's all he wants from you is your love, and you're serving him. Listen to him, and you will never go wrong. Listen to man. I'm going to tell you what, someday, maybe, if it wasn't for the privacy of maybe cutting names away, I would like to just make a bulletin board of yo-yos I get letters from. I get letters from a lot of good people, but I'm talking about genuine yo-yos, okay? That means somebody on a string running to and fro, all right, about what God's Word says and what I should be teaching. It would make a good thing, only it would be a big waste of time because God has it all written. Well, enough said about that. Father, we thank you for the privilege of serving you. Be with us always, Father, in doing thy business. May we be about your business in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The book Traditions of Glastonbury by E. Raymond Capp is our item number 6, and the suggested donation is $10. Mr. Capp is a biblical archaeologist and historian.